Today's daf is Shabbos, daf Lamed Dalid in Perek Baba Malikin, as we continue. And as I said, we're looking forward, Be'ez Hashem, every day we look forward to today's daf. But coming up on the horizon, as we mentioned, is the Perek related to Bishul B'Shabbos, the third and the fourth Perek of Masech HaShabbos coming up. But today already, we get into some of the issues of Bishul D'Rabbanan, as we will see. We've touched on it in the past, a little bit at the end of the first Perek. We had a couple of sugyas related to Bishul in terms of Shehiya and what one does on Erev Shabbos. We had the Makar of Machal Ben Drusoy on daf. On the end of the first parak. But today, it'll come up a little bit later, but today, right now, at the beginning, we are still in the story, relating to Rav Yehuda Bar Eloi, and Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and Rav Yehuda Ben Gerim, or just Yehuda Ben Gerim. That was the machlokas in Rashi and Tosfos, whether there's a Rebbe in front of Yehuda Ben Gerim's name or not. Either way, so they came out of the cave for the second time, they see the man running with the two Adasim, and they say, oh, Baruch Hashem, now we understand. There's Zachar and Shamar, which is the makar for lighting two candles on Shabbos. We mentioned the minhag quoted by the Magen Avraham in the name of the Arizal in terms of having Hadasim and having some type of besamim on Shabbos that some have the minhag of smelling. But now we continue. Shama, about 10 lines up from the bottom. Shama Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair Chasnei. Rav Pinchas ben Yair, the son-in-law of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, he heard that his father-in-law got out of the cave. V'nafak la'apei, he went out to greet him. Aile lebei bani, they went to take a shower. It's been a while. Right? They went to take a shower. They went to the bathhouse. Havi ka'arich le'bisrei. The son-in-law was stroking the skin of his father-in-law. Just try to, you know, he's been in sand for 12 years, right? So he's stroking his skin to try to get it a little softer, to work out some of the kinks. Interesting, some of the Achronim point out, you're allowed to be in the bathhouse with your father-in-law. That a lack of covet, priest's covet, so must have been lack of tznius, must have been in a certain way that was appropriate. Chazi dahavi le pili bugufe. The son-in-law, Pinchas ben Yair, saw that he had cracks on his body. Pili bugufe. Havi kabachi. So he started crying. He didn't realize that, this is what my father-in-law's body looks like. But kanasru dimas ene. The tears of his eyes fell into the cracks. The kametzavchal, and he caused it to scream. Amarlei, oily shivisichavakach. But he couldn't help himself. Pinchas ben Yair says, woe to me that I see you like this, that I see this Gadol HaTorah with such a decimated physical body. Amar Lei, he says, no, just the opposite. Ashrecha, praised is you, she'ritani b'kach. Praised is you that you see me this way. She'omali lo ri'itani b'kach, lo matzasa b'kach. If you wouldn't see me this way, you wouldn't find in me what's in it. Meaning, Baruch Hashem, I had the Razei Torah, revealed to me, and the state that I'm in terms of Torasi Umnasi. So it wouldn't be able to happen without the physical elements that went along with it. Pasma Melach Tochal, Baram Zeratishtah, the Mesiras Nefesh that's required for Kinyan of Torah is what he was referring to. How do we know that he reached such levels? The Meikara, originally, Ki Havi Makshi, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai Kushya, whenever Rashbi would ask a question, Havi Mefarik, Leir Pinchas Ben Yair, Tresa Piruke, his son-in-law could answer him 12 answers. 12 answers he could give for every question that he asked. Lesov, and after all the years in the cave, Havi Makshi, Rav Pinchas Ben Yair Kushya, Havi Mefarik, Leir Shimon Bar Yochai, Esher Marbuk Piruke, just the opposite. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was able to answer in 24 different ways any question that Pinchas ben Yair asked. So you see, it was just tremendously grew in those years. Amar, so he says, Rav Shimon Yochai says, Holbis Rachish Nisa, Ezel Iskin Milsa. Now that a nace occurred to me, what was the nace? That he was able to survive, that you have the carob tree and the water, whatever the nace might be. We're not right, the nace happened to me. Let me do something. Let me affect society. You see from here that every time HaKadosh Baruch Hu does something personally for me, I have to give back to the public. That's what this line says. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved me, Ezel Esken Milse. I'll go out and do something. Dichsiv. Vayavo Yaakov Shalem, Va'amar Rav. Yaakov came Shalem back to Eretz Yisrael, as we learn about in Parshas Vayishlach. Shalem Begufo, Shalem Bevamono, Shalem Bitarasa. Right, the three shalims, Rashi quotes this Al HaTorah. He was shalim beguf, meaning he was healed from his fight with the Malach. He wasn't limping anymore. Shalim b'mamono, even though Eliphaz had stolen all his money, But on the way back, he had made, when he was there with all his wives, he had gotten back. And Shalom B'Torasso, Rashi says, Shalom Shachach Talmudo Mibnei Torah Haderach. Sometimes when we travel, it's a little difficult to always remember and remain in learning, but he was Shalem. So after that, because Yaakov had these Nisim, it was really Nisim that occurred to him, that he was Bishlemos Vayichanes Pnei Ha'ir. So he did something. Literally means he encamped next to the city. Pasuk continues, says Vayikan is Chalkas Asada, which I think we mentioned 4 or 5 years ago. The Eben Ezra on that Pasuk, on this Pasuk says, what was the first thing Yaakov Avinu did when he got back to Eretz Yisrael? He bought a portion of Eretz Yisrael. He bought a chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Right? Why? Because says the Eben Ezra, call a kona chelik be'Eretz Yisrael, kona chelik be'olam haba. It's the language of the Eben Ezra on this Pasuk that's quoted here. Vayikan is Pnei Ha'ir. Right? It's in Yonah Dioma, this week's Parsha, Parsha's Chayasara, the first part of Eretz Yisrael that was first portion that was bought. And it's fascinating. What was bought? Hebron was bought, and Shechem was bought, and all the places where aren't too many Jews left. Right? Because that's where the fighting, Because that's what we bought, and that's what they want to take from us. Right? And the first city that we conquered, Yericho. Right? So there's no coincidence about all of these cities that were the original conquerings and transactions of Klal Yisrael. Yericho was a little different. There was a curse about rebuilding it, but still interesting. Okay, so Yaakov Avinu goes, Vayichas Pnei Ha'ir, and he encamps around the city. But Chazal darshan that it wasn't just encamping, but he did something for them. Amar Rav Matbea Tikam Lahem. Maybe he started a currency. He started the financial district in Eretz Yisrael. Ushmuel Amar Shvakim Tikam Lahem. He made public thoroughfares for them. He made marketplaces for them. Something to help out their society. Maybe Shvakim, interestingly, is connected to the Shvakim that the Romans built on the same Amud. Right? The Shvakim that they earlier built, they did for their own purposes. Yaakov Avinu built Shvakim for the Klal. Reb Yochanan Amar, Merchatzos Tikim Lahem. Right? Also, earlier. Bathhouses, he was Masakin for them because he wanted to, again, do something. Amar. So that's what Yaakov Avinu did. So Shema Yechai knows this and he says, Ika Milsa Debailas Kunei. Anything needs fixing here? You know, I'm around. I have a free couple of days. Anything that I could help out society with, Amru Leis, they said to him. So this state of disappearing and coming back worked out well for Shema Yechai. They still remembered him. It wasn't so long. The other story that we know in Gemara Maseches Tainus, where there was a great one of the Amoraim that went to sleep for a long time and he woke up and you know nobody knew who he was and he couldn't. I'll try to bring the Gemara tomorrow. He couldn't fathom, and he couldn't survive without being recognized. So anyway, this Gemara, though, he's recognized, and he says, you need anything done? So they say, yeah, Amrulei, Ika Duchta, this be Suffik Tumah. See that area over there? There's Suffik Tumah there. There was a grave there that we can't find. We can't find. And because we can't find it, the whole area is off limits for Kohanim. V'is Lehut Sa'ar L'Kohanim L'Akufei. The Kohanim have to go all the way around to get to the other side. And this was a main street, wherever they were. And, you know, it's difficult. It's difficult. Rashi says on top, Shehaya Oso Shuk Sha'asafik Bo Makom Ma'avar Ha'ir. It was a main thoroughfare in the city, L'Rabim. V'akonim Lohaya Yochol and Likanisham. V'ipnei Tumah. V'tzarech L'hakif Derech Acher Aruch. They had to go all the way around. So They say to Rishim Yechai, anything you could do about this? Anything? Sa'amar says Rishim Yechai, Ika Inish Diyada. Is there anyone here that knows the Ischazik HaChatara, that at one point in history there wasn't a Safek Kever here? Is there anyone that knows that this is not a Muchzak Beis HaKvaros? Anyone here that knows that this wasn't always a cemetery? Anybody here can tell me that? Amar Lei, yeah, they said, Ahu Saba, he's that old man over there. He knows. They went to ask him, so this old man told him, Kan Kitzetz Ben Zakkai Termasei Truma. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, right, the earlier Tanoim, he cut Termasei Truma here. He cut legumes of Truma. Meaning, what's he dealing with Truma here? It must be that he's not worried about Tuma in this case. He's dealing with Truma. Is that the only issue in the Gemara? That he's dealing with Truma? Or also, Machlokes Rishonim. Was Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai a Kohen? Was he a Kohen? It would be fascinating to think of all the Takanas of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Zecher LeMikdash. Was it a Kohen that made all of those? Because he really personally felt the pain more than others? Because he worked in the Mikdash. Zecher LeMikdash. Was he a Kohen? Rashi right here says, yes. Rashi on the fourth line. Termasi Truma Hatzrichos Hashem Betara Vegam Hu Aya Kohen. He was a Kohen according to Tosefta Mesachas Para. But you see on the side, Ayin Tosas and Menachas. Tosas and Menachas argues he was not a Kohen. Machlokas Rishonim, Machlokas and Metzias. Whether Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a Kohen or not, what exactly is the proof here? If you according to that Tosas, you have to say that the Rambam also writes he was a Kohen. And not Tama Tavir Shemishnayas. He agrees with Rashi. But Tosas says not. What was he doing with the Truma? Maybe he was splitting it up for the Kohanim. Either way, he was going to give it to the Kohanim. But he wasn't gonna eat it. Either way, that was the discussion. So this old man says, this is where he cut Termasei Truma. So says Rabbi Shimon Mayachai, Avad Iyonami Achi. So he says, you know what, I'm gonna use Termasin also to help you out here. So what did he do? Kol Hecha Dahavi Kashi Tihare, the Kol Hecha Dahavi Rafi Sinei. What did he do? Rashi says that he cut Termasin and he threw them all around this field. And there was a miracle that occurred, and by throwing them around this field, the mace, wherever it was, underneath the ground, moved up to the surface. Right? He moved up to the surface. There was a mace, Rashi says. V'nase nase. And he moved up, and in that way, they were able to realize what was soft ground, where the mace must have moved, and what was hard ground, where there was no movement. So, kol hecha davi kashi. All the ground that was tough, that was hard, and obviously nothing moved under there. Tihare. So he says that ground is tahar. Kol echadavei rafi. In the spot that was soft, where the mace moved, tsine, he cordoned it off and said, this is where the mace is, but everything else is fine. Kohanim, feel free to go around. Go around this, in this direction. Let's continue and then we'll comment. Says the Gemara, Amar Husaba, Tihar, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Beis HaKfaris, that Husaba, that knew, ironically, he was the one that knew it wasn't a Beis HaKfaris originally. But he comes along and says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, great job. You purified a cemetery. Good job. Meaning he's berating him. He's insulting him. He's like, this is a Beis HaKfaris. How do you make this tar? Right, good job, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Amale ilmale hayita imanu, or lo hayita imanu. There's an ilmale with an aleph or an ayin, or an aleph. Aleph or a yud. Sometimes Amali means, Tosus there, Megillah, Daf Chaf Aleph. Whenever Amali comes up in Shas, the Meseret HaShas quotes that Tosus in Megillah on Daf Chaf Aleph. Right? To tell us that there's a difference between Amali with an Aleph, were it that, or were it not that? Those are the two translations of Ilmale. Say, Amali Ayita Imanu, had you, or had you not been with us, Ilmale here is with a Yud, V'yafilo Ayita Imanu, if you had been with us, V'lo Nimnes Imanu Yafat Omer, if you wouldn't be one of us, if you wouldn't have helped me out here, then maybe you could make a comment. Meaning, if you want to be a knowledgeable person, maybe it would be appropriate for you to make a comment. But how could you now comment like that? Achshav, shahayita imanu, v'nimnes imanu, but now that you were with us, and you were nimna, you were counted with us, and you helped us do this, yomru, zonos mefarko zuazu. People are going to say that zonos are mefarko, they complement each other. Surely rabbis together. What's that muscle? Again, we'll talk about it in a minute. We're just in the middle of the story. So if Zonos do it, surely Tamidei Chachamim should compliment each other. And you look what you're doing. He looked at him, and Rav Shimon ben Yochai looks at you. You know, it's dangerous. And the guy died on the spot. Right? You don't make fun of Tamidei Chachamim. Right, there's even a chi of misa possibly if somebody makes fun of Tamidei Chachamim based on other Gemaras. Just finishing the story, Nafak Lashuka, and after that, but he helped out and he made this whole area on limits for Kohanim. He went out to the marketplace. Chaz Yehuda ben Gerim. Look at that. He meets his old chavrusa, but part of the chavra Yehuda ben Gerim. Amar Adai Nesh Lazeba Olam. This guy's still here. He caused all the problems. He was Malshin. Whether it's Bekavana, not Bekavana, Nasan Bo'ena Va'asa'u Gal Shel Atzamos. What happened? He looked at him again and he became a pile of bones. Gal Shel Atzamos. Why Gal Shel Atzamos? Some of you showed him, I saw say that. Because Gal Shel Atzamos means it looked like he should have died a long time ago. He was all bones already. There was no more flesh. Meaning he should have died for what he did a long time ago. But, you know, now he, Rashbi only gets him now, so this is what happens, right? Similar, well, we have this lesson a couple of times. We've quoted in the past the Gemara Baba Basra, where there was a certain Talmud that made fun of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said that Lasilavo, when Mashiach comes, the Malachim are gonna, or Hashem is gonna put gates of stone around Yerushalayim and these tremendous, huge measurements of gates. Huge measurements. It's in the, I think in the middle prakim, Ayin Dal, Ayin Hey, around there. So there was one Talmud that was sitting in the back, Malagleg al Divrei Chachamim. He scoffed. Oh, Rabbi Yochanan, I realize it's going to happen. You're going to have like these 30 Amos stones that they're going to bring to Yerushalayim? No way. And the Gemara says that he went off on a boat, this Talmud, and all of a sudden in Shemayim, he sees the Malachim working with these humongous stones. And he says, what are you doing? He's like, oh, we're getting these ready for Yerushalayim. He's like, really? He quickly goes, takes the boat back, and he goes to Rezit to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is like, he said to Rabbi Yochanan, no, you're right, I believe you now. I believe you. Rabbi Yochanan says, oh, your emun is based on Re'iyah. Imali lo Re'ita. Right? You lo hamanta. You wouldn't have believed me? Malagle adibre chachamim hu? And he looked at him, nasanin above, and asked, ashal asamas. Same lashon. Again, why? Because the problem was the earlier moment when he scoffed. Right, so a lot of these stories have to do. We had the end of Maseches Brachos. We also had one, I think it was Rav Sheshes, one of the blind Amaraim. He recognizes when the king is coming. And another one of the scoffers is like, how do you know anything? You're blind. Right? He said, no, when it was quiet, you knew the king was coming. So again, that's like Ashal Asamos. It's when something is done for an earlier action, so he looks like he's been dead a long time. That's the language of Ashal Asamos. Okay, a couple of other points on these last few lines. First of all, ask the Tosefas Yom HaKippurim. Who's the Tosefas Yom HaKippurim? Right, here's an Achron. Chabiv. Rev Avin Bar Nosson, somewhere one of the Achronim. He wrote three Svarim, one on part of Rosh Hashanah, one on part of Yuma, and one on part of Sukkah. Sukkah is called Kapos Tmarim, Yuma is called Tosefas Yom HaKippurim, and the one on Rosh Hashanah is called Yom Truah. On the Lamaisa parts, it's only on the last parak of Yuma. And it's only on the on certain parts of Sukkah. Okay, so he writes there where this Gemara is discussed, where he discusses this Gemara in Yuma on Daf Ayin Hey. How did he prove halacha based on a nes? Right? Nobody knew whether this was Tami or Tahar. So it was a suffix. So he used a miracle to influence halacha. Right? He threw some legumes, and all of a sudden the nes moved. Ah, that's Tami, that's Tahar. Since when are you allowed to do that? Right, we've discussed before. Eliyahu Navi can't come tell us, you know, do miraculous events for us. So it says that Tosefas Yom HaKippurim, may Iker Hadin, the place was Tahar. Safik Tuma Bereshus Harabim, Tahar. Really, the place was Tahar. Except the Kohanim were machmer on themselves. And they went above and beyond to prove that something is may Iker Hadin, that you can rely on a miracle, says the Tosefas Yom HaKippurim. He wasn't proving the halacha. The halacha was the halacha even without this. The Kohanim were just being extra machmer on themselves. But in order to tell them, don't be extra machmer, so for that he used the miracle. Lefi zed, the ikim ha-shazavach rashbi latar tver yahaya al ha-halachos, v'chulu v'chulu v'chulu. Let me just find the line. V'yavagav t'kayim alalo ba-shamayim hi v'ein mashkichin be-baskol. Even though you can't rely on baskols, you can't rely on shamayim. Hani mili mikol makom. Hecha t'hanes o ha-baskol misayeya likra o la-halacha avdinan kavasei. T'kayim alalo kebeis hilo mishav baskol mishav de-basayeya likra. That's what Tosis discusses in Ba-Metzia, as we've had before. V'achanami efshalomar. Here too, the Ikar Adin was the Ikar Adin. That wasn't a problem, right? But ulahotzi milibam asa osasumofsim. But to be mosi milibam, to be extra machmir, that's why he did that. Good. That's what his message is. But other achronim discuss this. So you have savik tumah versus arabim. The girl doesn't say they're extra machmir. It sounds like they were machmir here. Ikar Adin. Right, so why were they machmir? The principle is when you have a savik tumah versus arabim, it's tahar. So there is a big discussion about that in the Achronim. Whether, when we say Savik Tumah Bereshus Harabim Tahar, does that mean totally Tahar for all halachas? Or we could treat it as Tahar, but Kohanim should still be Machmir. Because it's more of what we call a Nihug than a Birur. We don't know whether it's Tumah or Tami or Tahar, but you know what? You could be Nohag this way. But maybe not for Kohanim. Maybe Kohanim still have to be Machmir, even if we say Savik Tumah Bereshus Harabim Tahar. So if you have that approach, this Gemara fits in nicely to that idea. Good, last point to mention is the Ben Yehoyada. What's the mashal? Tamid HaChamim and Zonos. If Zonos, you know, support each other, so surely Tamid HaChamim. What's the mashal? Ma'inyin Zonos is Tamid HaChamim. Says the Ben Yehoyada, the Ben Ishchai. Ki HaZonos Even though they might hate each other, each one detracts business from the other one. To call umanchu soni balum naso al kolze hazone mifareches chaverta kedei shetisgae lifnei hamenafin v'yitnu loha esnan meruba v'lo me'avasaba elo l'tovas atzma. She does it for herself. A mashal he gives. He says, a person is nasan kesef letzorei. If a person gives silver to a person to make something for him. And he didn't ask him a price beforehand. He just said, you know, can you make me a kos? Fine. He comes back with a kos. And he says to him, you know, give me an exorbitant amount of money. So he says, no, what are you, crazy? I'm not giving you that much. I have this in mind. The guy said, no, I have this in mind. He says, you know what? Let's go to an objective third party. Let's go to another tzorif, another silver maker, to ask him how much do you think it's worth. So they go to the other party. So they say, what do you think? The guy says, I think it should be this amount, and this balabas thinks it should be this amount. So the third party says, oh, of course you're right. Of course you, the tzorif, is right. He says, of course it's the cost of that. He says, really? So fine. After they leave, the son of this third party goes to him and says, what, are you crazy? That's an exorbitant amount. You never charge that amount. Why are you telling him, this guy, you're causing him to win. You're causing him to have so much money. He says, no, that's going to drive market price up. If he gets this amount of money, so then I'm going to get more amount of money. I didn't do it for him. I did it for me. You think I love that guy? No. But I know if he gets more of a, if he gets higher amount, then so to me. Says the Ben Yoyada, that's exactly what happened here. Zona hates the other Zona. But if she gets a higher price, market value is going to go up. Market price is going to go up. And then we're all going to get a higher price. And that's why, that's all the mashal. Says now, that was a mashal to a mashal. So now we get back to the ultimate nimshal. Talmid Chachamim says the Ben Yoyada. He says to him, he says, if you're not machshiv Talmid Chachamim, if you're not machabi, then nobody's going to. If you can covet to me, you're going to get covet to yourself. He said, but you're undermining the whole system of Talmidei Chachamim. V'anim shalu me'achar sha'ato Talmid Chacham im tezalzal b'chachamim b'frei ha'amon gam kvodcha yidal v'yered b'einehem. That's pshuto shel davar. So that's pshuto shel davar. He said, you gotta care for the rabbis. If you're making fun of the rabbis, then, like we said yesterday, you know, adam chashuv, then that everybody else forget about. It's the beautiful mashal and the mashal about the nimshal in our Gemara of the Ben Yehoyada.
What do we do with all the Gemaras which have Tanayim looking at people and apparently killing them?
We do all the Gemaras. What do we do all the Gemaras without Tanayim causing people to drop dead?
And
right?
At the same time, we have a judicial system.
We have a judicial system which was not in place by the time many of these. But again, it was up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately. You know, it wasn't like they took out a knife and killed them.
No,
they didn't commit Ritzicha. They looked at them, and if HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, this person was supposed to die at this point. And maybe he was chayav, right? The Gemara talks about even though Arba Misos, did Arba Misos lo balu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will arrange. And it didn't happen. It happened to Rabbi Yochanan, happened to Rabbi Shubay Yechai, it happened to Yechidei Skula. But again, these are Moraim we can't fathom. Rabbi Yochanan, Shubay Yechai. Can't fathom the level these people were on. But they were at a level that also for Kavanah, it could have been Chil Hashem elements, could have been Kavanah Torah elements. Generally, it wasn't their own personal covet. Right? It was like the example I gave before. He was a scoffer about Emuna. Right here, he doubted Rav Shubay Yechai. The whole Torah Shebal Peh was in danger, that he had to run away and be in a cave. So, whether they used that, did they know that this was going to cause it? Or at least they knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu might help them out. But it's true that it's not like this person had a court case, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have let it happen, so to speak, if they didn't deserve it. Okay. Says the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is the last Mishnah in our parak related to Bava Malikin. Gimel Dvarim, Sarach Adam, Lomar, Besok, Beser, Shabbos, B'chashecha. Three things that we say a person needs to say in their house Erev Shabbos before it gets dark. Before it gets dark. Isartem, he should ask his wife, did you take off Trumas and Maestros? Did you take off Maestros? Because it's once Shabbos comes, it's too late. Eravtem, did you set an Erev? Which type of Erev? It's a little difficult. Rashi here says both types of Erevs that we know of. Rashi says Erev Tchumin, an Erev set to extend the distance, how far I'm allowed to go on Shabbos. Erev Chatzeres, right, I have a bunch of houses going into a communal public yard. Chazal say that on a Drabana level, I have to make sure that I set an Erev, because it's semi-public, it's joint ownership. So Chazal say, if I want to carry in there, I have to set up an Erev Chatzeres, like what we have. When we say we have an Erev in every community, there's an Erev Chazeres. So, Esar, Demir Avtem, Hadlik was an Erev, and light the candles. So this is what a person should say to his wife on Erev Shabbos. We'll see, the first two are questions, and the third one is a statement. Why dafka on Erev Shabbos should this be said? What about on Tuesday? On Tuesday, you shouldn't ask your wife if she's doing maestros right before you eat. You shouldn't do that. That you're only worried about Shabbos? So Rashi says, Esartem, second Rashi on the Mishnah, Peros ha'ilon l'sudah Shabbos, Sha'af achilas arai shal Shabbos, kova'as l'maiser. We know that one is allowed a snack on produce before Gemar Malacha takes place, before the final processing. I gather it into my field, and I make it into nice neat piles. That's for Yis Pnei Abayis and Meruach, which we'll have this from later in the Masechta. That's Gemar Malacha. On a Daraisa level, I can still eat that. On a Darabana level even, I could snack under my tree and eat that. But there are six events, we mentioned this a couple days ago, that if any of these six events happens, that's Kovei Lamaiser Midarabanan. Even though Gemar Malacha didn't take place, but if once these six events happen, you're not allowed to snack. Not allowed to eat at all until you take off Maestros. One of those is Shabbos, Rashi says. Because everything I eat on Shabbos has significance. And Shabbos is Kovea Le Maestros. And that's what Rashi says here. So that's what you have to ask. If it's on a Tuesday, so you didn't take off Maestros. So before you eat, you'll ask, you took off Maestros then. But on Shabbos, it's too late. Because you can't take off Maestros on Shabbos because the Mishnah says in Masechas Beitza, it's Tikkun. I'm fixing. I'm not allowed to fix on Shabbos. I'm not allowed to fix my food. So that's why we have to ask on Erev Shabbos. The Rambam in Hilchas Maaser Gimel, he says the six events. What are the six events that are Koveya? The Rambam says, Bayis, you bring it into your house, right, even if it didn't go through the processing. Mekach, if it's sold. Eish, if it's cooked. Melach, if it's salted, which is a status like cooking. Vahatruma, Vahasheves. If it's Truma, Shabbos. Shabbos is also in Maestros, because that talks about a certain mustard seed. They are Shabbos, right? All of these six are Koveya Le Maestros, and the Rambam goes through here what exactly each of those means. Okay, let's continue. So, that's the first halacha of the Mishnah. Sorry? So, right, he was talking about you eating it outside. Right, it's in the house, it's already Nikva. You don't need Shabbos. But maybe it's the stuff that they had in the yard. Have it in the yard. That's where their fridge was. Right? They kept it outside in the yard. Good. Says the next line of the Mishnah. Savik Hashecha, Savik Edech Hashecha. But what if it's now twilight? It's Bein Hashmashas. Savik Hashecha, Savik Edech Hashecha. So you mean the first three questions are asked before sunset. Now Bein Hashmashas. Two major sugis about Bein Hashmashas and Shas. Baruch Hashem, one of them's coming up. A little bit today, but also tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll talk about the major elements. Savech Hashecha, Savech Hashecha, Ein Ma'asr Nesavadai. Then once it's Beres Prashas, you cannot take off Maestros from Vadai Tevel. You can't take off Maestros from there, because you can't do a Vadai even Durabanan. Right, this is Tikkun Durabanan. You can't do a Vadai Isser during Bein Hashmashas. Vein Matbilin as a Kelim. You can't Tovel Kelim, they need to be Tovel. Vein Malikin as an Eris. And you can't light the candles. Can't light the candles. Why? Because that would be Achshash Isidaraisa. So during the Shmei Hashmashas, you can't do this. What you're only allowed to do are Suffolk Dinim. Avol Ma'asrin Es HaDemai. I can take a Maestros from Demai, which itself probably doesn't need Tikkun. Rov Amei Aretz Ma'asrin Heim Demai. But you can do it as a Chumra. The whole thing is a Din Suffolk. So that's why you can do it during Shmei Hashmashas, which is itself a Suffolk. It's kind of like a Svek Sveka. Right now, twilight is Suffolk Yom Suffolk Lila, and I'm doing something that's Suffolk, so it's kind of like a Svek Sveka. Uma Arvin, but you're allowed to set an Erev at that time. That sounds like a Stira. We just said, in the beginning part of the Mishnah, you can only set an Erev before twilight. And now it says you can do it during twilight. The Gemara will ask that. Vitomnin Esachamin. And one is allowed to insulate, do Hatmana during Bein Hashmashos. We'll have to talk about what type of Hatmana are we talking about. We'll see there are two types of Hatmanas, insulation. But once it's dark, so then you're not allowed to do Hatmana, as we'll see in the Gemara. So these are the elements of the Mishnah. What are you allowed to do before? What are you allowed to do during Bein Hashmashas? Question. The Gemara says that during Bein Hashmashas, you're not allowed to be Ma'asa, you're not allowed to be Matvil, and you can't light candles. Isn't the first two Achshashas Durabanan? The third one is Achshash Daraisa. Why do you say that one first? Don't light the candles during Bein Hashmashas. We mentioned the Mungan Avram allows you to do with a guy and even make a bracha on it. Okay. But that relates to somebody else doing a mitzvah, and I'm doing it. Last night we had a daf be'i in shir. Hopefully it's posted, related to the mitzvah ma'akeh. So we discussed there the ma'akeh Ephraim, who also allows you to make a bracha when a non-Jew puts up your ma'akeh. But why is that last here? Havakas Neiris. So Rashi says, Zuve Tzarach Lo Brazuktani. You're right, the bigger chiddush is said last. Okay, but some of the other achronim I saw say maybe this is hinting to the machlokas ge'onim. Machlokas Rishonim. Whether one is makabel Shabbos automatically when one lights candles. Maybe we don't ask the halakas neiros first, because right when halakas neiros takes place, then if I would light the candles, then forget, I can't do any of the other things, for sure. Because halakas neiros is a Kabbalah Shabbos. This is a machlokas Rishonim. Both days quoted in Shulchan Aruch. And Reish Samach Gimel Sif Yud, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Shita of the Bahag, Baal Halakas Gedolos. The Bahag holds, Kiva Shehidlik, Ner Shal Shabbos, Chal Alav Shabbos, Vinesa B'Malacha. Once I light candles, Isser Malacha. Boom. V'af Avalpize, Nogos Ksas Nashim, Shachash Eberchu, V'liko Aneris, Mashlichos, Lars Apsila, after they light the candles, they don't even put out the match. They just let the match drop. Okay, that is the day of the Bahag. Then there are 2 days within the Shita of the Bahag. Does a T'nai help? If I make a condition not to be Mekabel Shabbos, somewhere and I want to drive to the Kotel after I light candles, or I want to go to Shul Kol Nidre, does a T'nai work? Machlokas, the Shulchan Aruch was 2 days. Within the Shita of the Bahag that you accept Shabbos with Halakas Neiros automatically, does a T'nai help? Either way, Lamaisa, we try not to use a T'nai except once a year. Once a year, the poskim will say you can use a T'nai, but on a regular basis, one should not be using conditions to prevent Halakas Neiros from being a Kabbalah Shabbos. Then the Shulchan Aruch quotes the second opinion, V'yish chokin al ba'al halachas gedolo. Some say, no, Kabbalah Shabbos is not totally on halachas neiros, but with tfilas arvis, when the chazan says baruchu, and that's when it is totally on. What do we hold? Not machlokas, chiluk. Chiluk between men and women. Women are makabbalah Shabbos. The minag is holding like the bahag, right when they light candles. Men are not, because generally, if a man ever has to light candles, he's probably going to have a mincha afterwards. There's stam das that he does not accept Shabbos with his lighting of the candles, and that is why when a man lights candles, he does the regular over lasiyasan. He makes the bracha, and then he lights the candles. There's no problem with that. That's what's supposed to be done by any mitzvah. Bracha and then the mitzvah. Women have the problem. That's why women do the whole charade, so to speak. And that is, they light the candles, they don't get benefit from it, they cover their eyes, they say the bracha, they open their eyes, they look at the candles as if they're only getting benefit from it after they light. Why do they do that? Because once they say the words Kabbalah L'Hadonai Shabbos, even the bracha, that might be a Kabbalah for them. That's why they have to light and cover their eyes and make the bracha. They can say the tefillah, but women have to make sure to look at the candles after they open their eyes. Right? That's the ikar. That's the hana that they have to get. Either way, but some say maybe that's why halakas neiros is on the list last, because there is a kabbalah automatically right when they light the candles. Good. Says the Gemara, minani mili. How do I know that a person should talk to his wife about these things before Shabbos? Amar Bishu ben Levi, amakra, v'yadata ki shalom alecha. You know there'll be peace in your tent. Ufakatta navecha, you shall command your naveh. Right? Know what is naveh? Kimarech naveh. Naveh can mean your house. It can mean your beautiful area. It means your wife. That's a remes. Volosechta, and you will not sin. So talk it over with your wife. Amar alabarahuna. Afagat amar abadish loshes vamsach adam lomar vechulu. Even though a person should say these three things, tzarech lemimrinu b'dichusa. Make sure you say it softly and calmly, not screaming. You want somebody to listen to you, to accept what you say, don't scream. Right? So even though you should say these things, right? You gotta say it very nicely. Halavai, we should all be zochet to that. Menuchas ha-nefesh and Erev Shabbos. Amar Ravashi. Analo shmieli, hadar abba barafu, neva kiyamti misvara. I never heard that, but I did that. It makes sense. Of course, that's what I do. That's what it should be. I think that's everything. We ever want anything to be accepted, right? That's what it says here. You have to say it, b'nichusa. So now the Gemara asks the question we said before. Hagufa kasha. Amar shloshet dvarim sorach adam. Lomar psoch peso. Erev Shabbos imchashecha. You have to say these three things before it gets dark. One of them is setting an Erev. Imchashecha in savik chashecha, savik ene chashecha lo. Only before, not during banish rushes. V'hadr ta'ani savik chashecha, savik ene chashecha ma'arev. And then the Seifa says you can set an Erev during Banas Rashas. So which is it? So before we give the answer, Simin, Begufe, Zimra, Tzipra, Bechavla, Demilsa. That's five statements in this Masechta that Rabbi Abba says in the name of Chia Barashi, the name of Rav. Okay, the five statements, this is one of them. So we just have that siman to tell me these five, to allude to the five statements that they say. So, that he says. Lo kasha, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Chia Barashi, Amar Rav, lo kasha, kan beruvei tchumin, kan beruvei chatzeros. Two types of eruvs. Are we talking about eruv tchumin, which extends my Rishus on Shabbos, the 2,000 amos, I can put a challah outside and extend my Rishus. That's a real creation of something. That's creating a shvisa, a makum shvisa. We've mentioned in the past, that's why the Rambam says you make a bracha on that. You make a bracha because there's a chalos shvisa. I have a new area, center area on Shabbos. And that's creating. You could even say there are deis that say that's daraisa. Rabbi Akiva, Tchum and Daraisa. We don't paskin that way, possibly, but at least there's a day out there. That's serious business. That you can't do during Banish Mashas. That's only earlier. Rashi says, that's more serious. Rashi says, Tikkun Ma'alya. That's really doing something. Erev Chatzeres? On a Daraisa level, you shouldn't have to do anything here. You should be able to carry here. So Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Chazal say, it kind of seems like a public area. But that's more of like a hecker. Not as much of a creation, and that's why that could be done during Banish Mashas. V'yama Rava, Amrulo Shnayim, Seva Arev Aleinu. Two people tell somebody, could you go set up an Eruv for me, please? Le'echad Irev Alev Mibod Yom. So one of them, he got to it before Shabbos. Le'echad Irev Alev Banish Mashas. And the other one, he ran out of time. He only did it during Banish Mashas. Zeshi Irev Alev Mibod Yom, Ne'echad Irev Alev Banish Mashas. Lo and behold, the one that he had set up on Friday with plenty of time, that guy, a dog came and ate the Eruv during Banish Mashas. The dog was still hungry, so then he went to the other Erev that was set up during Ben Hashmashas, and he ate it on Shabbos. So what's the halacha? Shneim kana Erev. Rava says, both Erevs are good. Both Erevs are good. Even though, let's say we have three time periods. Time period A, before Shabbos. B, Ben Hashmashas. C, on Shabbos. So even though one Erev was put in A and eaten up in B, the other one was put in B and eaten up in C. But they're both good. So the Gemara says, "Bimanavshach." Why? E benashmashes yamamahu. If benashmashes is really daytime, so basra likni. So the second one should be good because it was set up during the day and it stayed till Shabbos. Kama lo likni. The first one shouldn't. Why? Because it was eaten before Shabbos started. So it shouldn't be good. The e benashmashes lel yahu. And if benashmashes is treated as nighttime, kama likni basra lo likni. So nighttime, the first one should be good. But the second one should not, because the second one was set up already, it was ready nighttime. So what is Beit HaShmashos? So Gemara answers, Beit HaShmashos Sveika Hu. The Sveika Drabana Lakula. Beit HaShmashos is considered a Safek, and therefore it is Safek Lekula. Sorry, Drabana Lakula. Famous Ritva, that's quoted, Yuma Daf Bem Zayin, where the Ritva has a Lashon of, he's a real, right, a brisker, it's a Din Safek. Right? It's not that, oh, we're really not sure. No, it has an inherent status of doubt. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this time. It's not like there's an answer to this question. Maybe originally there was, but once HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this time period with some elements of Choshech and some elements of Or, so that's its status. Some items have a dual status. Right? What it all starts with Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ritva quotes in Erev and Daf Yud Gimel on the Elu VeElu, Dibur Elokim Chayim Gemara. So the Ritva there quotes that Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, he got the Torah, and Hashem said, here are all the halachas, and a lot of these elements have some Tame elements and some Tar elements. Moshe's like, what? Hashem says, yeah, many elements in Torah and in the world are not simple. They are compound. They have many element. They have many elements to them. Some tame elements, some tar elements. Bein Hashmashas has elements of yom, elements of laila. But it has therefore an inherent status of yom v'laila. It's both, or it's neither. It's a birya b'fe'atzma. It's kind of like the other cases of we have a koi is savik chaya, savik behema. So some say birya b'fe'atzma, androgynous. Right, all the cases where we have dual elements. So Bein Hashmashas might have that too. It's not a regular savik that can be answered. It's a birya b'fe'atzma. That's the language of the Ritva in Meseches Yuma. But either way, lamaisa we could be maker. We're talking about a Durabanan issues here, Erev is Durabanan, and therefore we can be Mekel and say both of them are allowed to have their Erevs. Yeah.
So according to that, according to what Rava just said, how does he answer up the original question we had from the Mishnah? Okay. He's answering, you can be makel, so then how do you answer?
You could, I guess you could be makel in terms of maybe b'dieved. Good question. What do you do? What do you do with the original question? So why should even Erev Tchumen be a problem during Bein HaShemashos?
Right.
Right? Maybe l'chatchila you shouldn't be doing it. B'dieved, if we have a suffix about whether something worked or not, so it would be makel. But you still shouldn't be doing Isurei Durabanan during this time period. Serious Isurei Durabanan. Remember we had back in the first parak that there was a line of Rebbe that every Shavuos is Mutar Bein HaShemashos. And we mentioned that already. That's not a hard and fast rule. Right? Certain Shavuos can be makel, like Amir La'akum and others. But that we already had in the first parak. We said, remember, we'll get the Daf Lamed Daled. Baruch Hashem, we're there. And not every Shavuos. Amir La'akum is Mutar during Bein HaShemashos. But other Isurim are not. But right here, we would have to say what we just said.
What do you do regarding carrying?
I mean,
we talk about
tchumim.
Presumably, you're carrying your
shliach. What about what the shliach did? Oh, some achronim say, isn't that a shliach of avera? Is he already doing something for you, right? During Ben Hashmashas, isn't that a possible avera? So how could it work? Bechlau, right? Nami. But that's usually not ma'akev the mitzvah, right? He said it. He put the challah down for you. Okay. Good. Is the stat? I would say no. It's is something about Lakula. We would say here.
Right.
So what does that mean? The Erev, because Bein HaShemashos is not a Durabanan status. Bein HaShemashos is a Daraisa status. Right. So Pashas is talking about Erev, and something about Lakula in this context. Good. Continuing. Now we're getting into the last element that was mentioned in the Mishnah. That one, during Bein HaShemashos, is allowed to insulate. Tomen Esachamen. So now we're about to get into a topic that its major discussion is the fourth parak. Fourth parak of Shabbos is called Bamet Tomenin, Dafim Zayin later on. What are you allowed to insulate in? What are you not allowed to insulate in? But we're going to talk about it already here. Just as a way of introduction, there are two types of hatmana. There's hatmana in something that's called Dover Hamosif Hevel, something that adds heat, right? I insulate something on a fire. And insulation doesn't mean the pot. The pot is the pot. Insulation means I wrap the pot in a towel, in a tight-fitting towel. We'll have to talk about all the details in the future. But that's insulation on a fire. So that's hatmana bedover hamosif hevel. You don't, the towel doesn't have to be the thing that makes it hot. The source of heat could be underneath. Right, that's hatmana bedover hamosif hevel. If I hold, which is a major machlokas, the last psak of Shlomo Zalman ever gave, if I hold a crock pot is hatmana, that's hatmana bedover hamosif hevel, because it's adding heat. But then there's the other element, hatmana. Hatmana, not in a dover hamosif hevel, right? Meaning to keep the heat, not to add the heat. For example, I just have a pot on my counter and I wrap it in towels. That's hatmana bedover she'ein hamosif hevel. So what do we paskin that we'll see? On Shabbos, I'm not allowed to even wrap something in the dover she'ein hamosif hevel. On Erev Shabbos, I'm not allowed to wrap something in a Dover HaMosif Hevel. We're going to see right now, that's the introduction to these couple of lines. And the Gemara says, the Mishnah says right here, you're allowed to be Tomein during Bein HaShemashos. Mashma, you can't be Tomein on Shabbos. That's what we're going to talk about right now. V'yama Rava, b'pnei ma amru ein Tomnim, b'dover she'ein HaMosif Hevel mishecha sheicha. So why, if it doesn't add heat, why can't you wrap it once it gets dark? Right, because our Mishnah says, we assume that our Mishnah is talking about a davar she'eino mosif hevel. It does not add heat, and it's only mutter before Shabbos, right? Bein HaShemashos, but it's not mutter on Shabbos. Why? You're not cooking. You're not gzeira shemayartiach. No, the point is because you might see that your pot of soup has cooled down already, and you might heat it. If you know you're going to insulate it, you might have to heat it up before you insulate it. So it's a gzeira mishum bishul. So even during Bein HaShemashos, if you're worried about actual cooking or lighting a fire, whatever it is, so why aren't you going to during Bein HaShemashos? It's a Savi Daraisa. Right, this relates just to what you just said before. Because here we're talking about a Daraisa, so it's not Bein HaShemashos, so it should be Machmir. Answer, Amar Lei Stam Kederes Ros Hoschein. During Bein HaShemashos, pots are boiling hot. So we can assume that you're not going to have to, we're not worried about Shema Yartiach, because as Shabbos starts, it's boiling hot. Only later on, what we're worried that is, once it's cooled down, you might. That's why, that's the reason for the gzera of hatmana, even a davar she'eino mosif hevel, on Shabbos. That is that part. What about the other type of hatmana? It's an important Rashi here, but we'll get back to that at a later date. V'yama Rava, mipnei ma amru ein tomenim bedavar ha-mosif hevel v'afil bibod yom. The other type of hatmana, how do I know that I'm not allowed to do hatmana? It's a way that adds heat, even on Friday. That's the third gzera. There are three gzeras d'rabbanan on Shabbos related to Bishul. Shehiya, about leaving things on heat sources before Shabbos. Hachzara, putting things back on heat sources on Shabbos. And Atman is insulation. Those are the three major, the first two are discussed in the third parak, and the third one is discussed in the fourth parak. But here we have a little taste. So Rava says, why are we not allowed to do it on Shabbat, even beforehand? Gezeira shebiyatim beremesh yishpon kachelas. Because I might, if I'm allowed to insulate, I might insulate it in hot coals. I'm going to buy a Yatman. Abai says, okay, so what? It's Erev Shabbos. Why not allowed to do that? Gezeira shebiyachata bekachalim. No, because if you're allowed to insulate it in a Dover Hamos of Hevel, then even on Shabbos you might do that and you might come to stoke the coals, like we discussed earlier in the first parak. And therefore, Hatmana ultimately is a similar Gzeira Shemichata Begachalim to Shehiyah. Shemichata, you might come to stoke the coals. That is the ultimate issue. We'll have to talk about the rush, the beginning of the fourth parak. There seems to be more chumras by Hatmana than by Shehiyah. Hatmana applies even if something is fully cooked, which does not apply by Shehiyah. Why is Hatmana worse? We'll have to talk about it. But Tana Rabbana, now let's just get into some definitions of Bein Hashmashos. What does the word Bein Hashmashos mean? Between the suns? So the Maharal writes in Parshas Bo, in the Gur Aryeh, sun is usually how we call a day. The day is defined by the sun. So Bein Hashmashos, between the suns, between the days. Like Bein Harbayim is also, Erev is the nighttime, between the nights. So between the days, between the nights, those are similar halachas. So Tana Rabbana, Bein Hashmashos, Safik min hayom min halayla. Maybe it's Safik from the day and the night. Safik kulam min hayom, Safik kulam min halayla. I don't know what Bein Hashmashos is. Matilin also lechomer shnei yamim. So we give it the chumra of both days. Meaning during Bein Hashmashos, on Friday you can't do malacha. And on Moshe Shabbos, you can't do malacha. You always take the chumra of Bein Hashmashos. Veizo Bein Hashmashos, when is it? Misha tishka hachama, as the sun is setting, calls mansha pnei mizrach ma'adimin. As the Pnei Mizrach, that means the sun is setting in the west, so the east is what reflects the sun, as it's getting red. That's Bein Hashmashos, as it is red. Hichsev Atachlov and Hichsev HaElyon, if the bottom part got darker, literally burned, and Hichsev HaElyon, Bein Hashmashos, that's still Bein Hashmashos, as long as the top part of the sky is still red. Hichsev HaElyon v'Hishvel Atachlov, but once it's both dark, Zehu Laila Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's a review that we'll have to talk about these actual times. Reb Nechemya Omer? No, it's a Kedeshe Yahalech Adam Mishadishka Chama Chatzi Mil. Bein Hashmashos is as long as it takes a person to walk from sunset half a mil. Certain distance. Reb Yossi Omer? Bein Hashmashos Keherafayin. No, Reb Yossi, we had this back in the first Daf and Shas. Bein Hashmashos is just a fleeting moment. Ze Nichnas Veze Yotzei. The day leaves, the day comes. V'yef Shalom Adalav. And you can't tell. That's Reb Yossi's Bein Hashmashos is the flick of an eye. It's Reb Yossi. Good. Amar Mar Matilin also Chaber Shteyamil Ma'Hilchasa L'May Nafkamina, that we treat Bein Hashmashos, we give it the chumra of both days. Now L'May Nafkamina, right? Rashi says, I understand. Maybe it's totally Yom. So on Friday, you're mostly Shabbos, you're allowed to do work. Maybe it's totally Laila. So on Friday night, you're allowed to do work. But what about we give it the chumra of both? So Amar Rafuna, Breder of Yeshua Le'inyan Tuma, regarding Tuma. Kidetan, the Mishnah says in Maseches Zavim, Ra'a Shnei Yamim, we know a Zav, a male, a Zav. If he sees two times, so 2 days, let's say, then he becomes Tameh, and he has to wait 7 days. If he sees three times, he has Shivan Akiyam and bring a Karban. If he sees 1 day, nothing. He's not Tameh for 1 day. He has to wait, count 1 day. So Ra'a Shnei Yamim, Bein Hashmashos, what if he sees 2 days, Bein Hashmashos. He sees Sunday night Bein Hashmashos and Monday night Bein Hashmashos. So, Suffolk L'Tumah L'Karban. It's a Suffolk for everything. For Tumah, because maybe it's Sunday night, Monday night, maybe it was all Monday. So he has to wait no days, except one. Maybe it was 2 days, maybe it was 3 days. We have no idea. So, Ra Yom Echad Bein Hashmashos, Suffolk L'Tumah. If he sees 1 day of Bein Hashmashos, then it's either 1 or 2 days. That's a Suffolk for Tumah. So that is where we hold both chumras, that type of case, for a Zav, and we're machmir, that he's gonna have to wait Shivat Akiyam, and he's gonna have to bring a karban. He won't be able to eat the karban, because this is a chatas that's brought ala Suffolk. Rashi says on the third to last line on the page, it's a chatas of a bal Suffolk, and it's not nechal, because maybe he's not chayv in the karban, and therefore it's nevela. But either way, he has to bring the karban. Period. Just finishing up the Braisa. Hagufa Kasha, the Braisa within itself seems to be contradictory. Amart Ezeo Bein Hashmashos. Misha Tishka Chamakos, Mansha Pnei Mizrach Ma'adimin. The first line says, when is Bein Hashmashos? As long as the sky is still red. Ha'hechsev Atachlam Lo'hechsev Elyon Lailahu. Mashma, once the bottom part's getting dark, it's Laila. V'hadotana, but the next line says, Hechsev Atachlam Lo'hechsev Elyon Bein Hashmashos. that if the bottom part is dark, it's ben hashmashus. So two answers. Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rabba says in the name of Shmuel, Karof Fatani, read it this way. Ezel ben hashmashus, misha tishka achama, kos basha p'nei mizrach ma'adimin. As long as the sky is red, v'echza v'tachla v'echza v'ayon, nami ben hashmashus. The bottom of the sky gets dark, it's still ben hashmashus. Hechzafa elyon, v'shmala tachton, laila. So that's Rabba in the name of Shmuel. That ben hashmashus, there's more ben hashmashus than you thought, and only later is laila. Rav Yosef, I'm Rav Yudam Shmuel. Rav Yosef says the name of Shmuel differently. Hachi tani, this is how you should read the brisa. Mishatishka achama, called basha b'nei mizrach ba'adim in yom. Everybody agrees to that. Hechzafa tachton, v'lechzafa elyon, if the bottom part gets dark, ben hashmashus. Hechzafa elyon, v'shmala tachton, laila. Says the says Rav Yosef the name of Shmuel. No, you read it that way. One, if it's still a little red, then it's Yom. Later on, so then Hechzav Tachton, then it's Ben Hashmashus and El Yon, and not Tachton, that's Laila. So we'll have to talk about the differences between Rabba and Rav Yosef tomorrow. The Gemara will go into it, but it's just two different ways of reading the Brisa, which has a big nafkamina in terms of when Laila starts, when Ben Hashmashus ends, and tomorrow Shabbos Lamed Hey. Two Gemaras and Shas, Shabbos and Pesachim. We'll talk about Ben Hashmashus. We'll get into the Vilna Gaon and the Gaonim and Rabbeinu Tam and the Yireim. All that comes up based on Tosfos tomorrow. Exactly how long is Ben Hashmashus? 72 minutes, 18 minutes, all of that, by the Shem, are on tomorrow's daf. Okay, we'll stop here. Daf Yin Shir hopefully should be up. And by the Shem, we'll continue.